Good to see everyone tonight. I will be continuing in Genesis tomorrow. We will be taking a look, Lord willing, at Genesis chapter 4. For tonight, we are starting a new series tonight on the book of Ephesians, the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Ephesians. And today, in introducing the book, I want to give two main introductory comments. First is a very simple outline of the book of Ephesians, that hopefully everybody can go home with this outline. It's a very simple outline of the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians has six chapters. The first three chapters are primarily what we believe. They are really the core of what we believe as believers. The second three chapters is how we live, what we believe. Okay, so that's a very simple outline of the book of Ephesians. Obviously, we can get more complicated, but in a very simplistic way, that's the reality of the book of Ephesians. And really, that's the order in our lives as well. Because I once heard it put this way, what we do is actually what we believe, and everything else is religious jargon. In other words, really, what we truly believe in our heart will actually come out in the way that we live. And so, and actually for us as believers, C.S. Lewis said something to the effect that often it isn't that we have to be taught, we have to be reminded. Because ultimately, I've said this before, often our struggle is to believe what we believe. I mean, the gospel is absolutely tremendous. And it's probably true that if we lived fully believing that, yes, in a sense, all the time, our lives would be that much radically different. Because it is tremendous. And that's really the other aspect of the book of Ephesians. And I want to read this key verse, which is Ephesians 2, 4 through 10. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us to sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, one of the things that I've said, and I don't know if I've said it here, I might have said it at Agape, and that is that when we finished the series on grace, I kind of said, well, we're sort of finishing the series on grace. Because how can you finish speaking about grace? I mean, the scriptures are so full of it. And as you look at this key passage in Ephesians, it references grace a number of times. So in a sense, we're continuing, but we're continuing with the grace series through the book of Ephesians. Now, these 10 verses, he's loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses. I mean, you know, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he first loved us. And not only did he love us, but he made us alive together with Christ. Now, I want to talk about this for a moment, making us alive. And we've talked about this a little bit, but I believe often we have a mixed view of the difference between soul and spirit. I think in American culture, sometimes it creeps into church as well, we kind of do this kind of conglomeration of soul and spirit, as though they are kind of the same thing, and they are not. When Adam and Eve fell, the spirit actually died. And really, without Christ, we're basically, our spirit is dead. That's why it says we were dead in trespasses. Our spirit was actually dead. Our soul, which is actually where our mind and our thoughts are, and emotions, thoughts, emotions, feelings. I mean, before we were saved, we had thoughts, we had emotions, we had feelings, but our spirit was dead. There's a difference between our spirit and our soul. And when we accept Christ, when we accept Messiah, our spirit becomes alive. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, there's a spirit that's now inside of us that is alive. It's not a different soul, it's a different spirit. And I've illustrated this, actually it's more testimony than it is, it is testimony and illustration. The difference between soul and spirit. You know, we're all in different ways, we have things in our minds. And I am by nature a thinker. And I identify with Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh. I identify with Puddle Glum in The Silver Chair by C.S. Lewis. I tend to look at things as half empty rather than half full. And sometimes it's maybe half full and I'm thinking it's only got a couple of drops in the glass, okay? And my wife is sort of the opposite. Praise God. And a few years ago, I think it's about 2 years ago now, maybe longer, but I think about 2 years ago, towards the end of the day, and I'm a morning person, so as the day goes on, my glass gets emptier and emptier as the day goes on, and I get more sulky in the evening. And there was a particular evening that I was just really down. And I get really down sometimes. And actually at that time, probably more so than now, because of what I'm gonna share with you. So I'm in this sulky mood and I'm just like, I'm going to bed. And I remember Deb telling me, she thought, boy, I can't even, I was so sulky, sour, okay? And I went to bed. Now there's another thing about me you're gonna learn, is that I sometimes talk in my sleep. And Deb came to bed that night, and in the middle of the night, I was praising God. I sometimes pray, I sometimes preach in my sleep. Exuberantly. In my sleep. That was not a conscious decision by my soul. I mean, even when Deb told me the next morning, I didn't remember dreaming that. I didn't remember that. See, my spirit is alive in Christ. My mind was, in a sense, out of order. And actually, there's been a difference since then for me. Because in a certain way, I would say, I realized that my sulkiness was sort of futile. I'm not saying that our thoughts aren't important, but the reality of Christ in me was there regardless of my sulkiness. And it's almost like there's no reason for me to get that sulky because I'm going to go to bed and praise God while I'm sleeping. And so now there's a little bit more conscious decision. Okay, soul, get in line. Because your spirit is alive in Christ, regardless of the circumstances. He's made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And this is not future tense. This is present. He has made us alive and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And there's a purpose, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You know, we are a witness, not just in to those on earth, but we are in a sense a witness to all of the universe of his incredible kindness toward us. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. For, and then he says again, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. See, and in this first half of Ephesians, there's this continual sense of what he has done for us. And really, everything that we live out as believers is because of what he has done for us. And in a sense, that needs to become, I think that's what we really grow in. At least it's my testimony in my Christian life, my believing life, is that I'm becoming more convinced of what he has done for me than what I think I could possibly do for him or for the kingdom. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. You know, there's a whole series just on that. Because, the problem with the human race, the arrogance of man, is really the bottom line. The pride and the arrogance of us as human beings is really the bottom line. Sometimes we want to point our finger at something else. But that's the horrible thing. And our boasting, anything that we think we can boast in, is problematic. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before that we should walk in them. Just highlighting some of those features there. In this passage, rich in mercy, great love, he loved us by grace, the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness, by grace, the gift of God. So now I want to read you a quote about the book of Ephesians. Oh, this is something I threw in here. My vision as a messianic pastor. but I want to read you a quote about the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is addressed to a group of believers who are rich beyond measure in Jesus Christ, yet living as beggars. Could I read that again? Ephesians is addressed to a group of believers who are rich beyond measure in Jesus Christ, yet living as beggars. Only because they are ignorant of their wealth, since they have yet to accept their wealth, they relegate themselves to living as spiritual paupers. We have no idea how rich we are. We really don't. And this is what Paul is addressing for us in the book of Ephesians, especially the first part. How incredibly rich we are. And so let's take a look at just a few verses in Ephesians. The first three verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who were in Ephesus, and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Messiah. Let me read that last part again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, who has blessed us with a little spiritual blessing, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Messiah. Third verse of the book, he is telling us that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Messiah. We are incredibly blessed. But I also want to talk about what that blessing is. And so, hang on. Here is the verse in the Greek. And I'm going to read it. And then I'm going to talk mainly about one word. Eon logetes hatheas kai pater tu curio hemon Iesus Christoi hai il legesis humas in passe elagia pneumatica in tois eporanios in Christo. The word I want to look at, actually, the word actually shows up twice, or the root shows up, is the word for blessing. And here, actually, three times. It shows up three times. And I don't know if anybody other recognizes a root in there. You don't know the Greek character, so let's take a look. There's the Greek word, the root of the Greek word, which you're probably still not recognizing. But how about that? Logos. Okay, you probably heard it as logos, but actually the Greek pronunciation is logos. What does that mean? The word. What did I say these? Okay, actually the root of this word to bless has the word in it. Let's see what the lexicon says. Literally, egelion means both in form and content to speak well, either in the sense of to speak finely or to speak well of someone. What's that? Eangelion, yes. Okay. The root is different there. Okay. This is elegion. That's eangelion. Okay. Close. But this sense is to word others well. Now think about what it says in this verse. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus the Messiah is blessed. He is highly spoken of. We speak well of him. He has blessed us, spoken highly of us, with all speaking well of us in the heavenly places in Christ. What does James talk about? The power of the tongue, the power of our words. The book of Proverbs talks about the power of our words. But this sense from the Greek is that when Paul says God has blessed us, he's talking about this sense that God has spoken well of us. Think about it. When somebody compliments you, how do you feel? You feel blessed. Our words are very important. What we speak is very important. How did the world come into being? God spoke. Yes. Boy, that's interesting. In this day, this look-alike, if you will. But this concept that what we speak, what we say, is so important. Because God speaks well of us. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't say, Father, they're all messed up, destroy them. But see, this is so important. The power of our words, especially in this day. Because ultimately, it's so easy for us to speak negatively. And that's not what God has done with us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He has spoken well of us. He's spoken highly of us with all speaking well of us in the heavenly places. Do you believe that God speaks highly of you? Even when you're struggling, even maybe when you've made some mistakes, does God still speak highly of you? How about what do we do about speaking about others when maybe they're having a tough time? Or maybe when they haven't treated us well? Or maybe we don't like their politics? Or maybe we don't like what's going on at work? See, we have the opportunity to speak well of others. I've learned this, and I'm still learning this. But you know, often when we can either criticize or we can bless. Can I say that again? Both in our heart and in our words, we can either criticize or we can bless. It's kind of the same place in our being. When we're thinking negatively of somebody, we're not blessing them. And probably if we're blessing them and praying for them, we're probably not criticizing them. So it's kind of a choice before us. Are we going to be ones that speak well of others and bless them? Or are we going to give in to criticizing? So, here's quiz time. All right, since we are a Messianic congregation, this works really well here. I know you don't know Greek, or most of you don't know Greek, but I've given you a hint to this passage here, which starts off with the same root, elogesai, in the very beginning. And I've given you the chapter and the verses. And it's an Old Testament passage. And it's a passage you are all familiar with. So it begins with, at least in the Greek, this is the Septuagint. So it's the Greek translation of the Hebrew. Okay, and it starts off with speaking well. So it's translating something speaking well, which would be probably in the English, blessed. Yes. Yervarachachad, I know I have a yishmaracha. This is the Aaronic benediction in Greek in the Septuagint, which is, may the Lord, may the Sovereign One speak well of you and keep you. All right, it's blessing. It's an interpretation of that blessing. May God, the Lord, speak well of you. May the Sovereign One speak well of you and guard and keep you. See, and the reason why I think this fits, you know, sometimes we just need things further explained and give a little, draw out some meaning here. Bless sounds like a very religious word, doesn't it? And it is. I'm not negating that. But to speak well puts it in very earthy terms. What do you want from God? Don't you want God to speak well of you and to keep you? And that's what we can do for others. If we pray this prayer for others, the Lord bless you, the Lord speak well over you, we can speak well over others too. Amen? Amen? Yes. That's happy. Happy. Yes, yeah, Stephen. Yes. Ooh, excellent. Yes, yes, yes. Great example. I have to give a testimony. I don't have to, but I will. Maybe I've shared this before, but I'm thinking about it. Maybe I shared this at Agape. But you know, we don't do it I don't do it very naturally. But last year, I took a New Testament class at Moody, and I'd had this professor for something else online, and I grumbled through the first part of the class. I don't know that he was the most interesting to listen to all the time. But you know, he would come in, and he always was blessing the students. He was always like, thank you for coming to class today. It's so good to see you all semester long. And it's like, don't you think the students should be thanking the professor for showing up and for teaching them? He was so appreciative of the students and speaking well of them. And I think I'm starting to get it a little bit a year later. Okay, that's because, and in a sense, we often think of, in a sense, our blessing God. But Jesus came to serve, not to be served. It's kind of his nature. And I'm just thinking about this professor. I'm continually impressed that I just missed it. And I'm just, you know, a remedial learner. But that God is so pleased with us. You know, he looks at us and he speaks well of us. He's happy for us. He's happy to be with us. I'd like to be transformed into that understanding that much more. So let's pray. Yeshua, thank you that we are approved by you. Thank you for this understanding. Thank you for your speaking well over us. And we just simply ask you to help us to speak well over others. Not in a sense out of obligation, but because we begin to understand that that's the way that you are with us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Yet it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So we just pray that you help us to see the Lamb, to see the way that you are. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Amen. I don't know if I should try this or not, but I think I'll end this with doing the Arona benediction in Greek and then in Hebrew and then in English. All right, so why don't you stand? I'm not even going to attempt to do any type of chanting with the Greek. Eon lagesai se kurios kai phulaze kai epiphane kurios to prosopon auto epi se kai alese se ipare kurios ta prosopon auto epi se kai doe soi irenen yivarechacha renoi v'yishma racha yaare noi panave lecha vichunecha yisare noi panave lecha v'yasam lecha shalom. The ever existing one bless you and keep you. The sovereign one lift up his countenance, his face upon you, and be gracious to you. The Lord God lift up his face, his countenance upon you, and put there, give there his peace, his health. B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom. In the name of Jesus, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. And I think we have Kiddush. Maybe we don't have Kiddush. All right. Well, greet one another. Say hello to Tony and Patty. And actually, if you speak into the microphone, tomorrow, next week I'll have Zaza.